You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a look at President Obama's call for common sense gun laws. He says that's the biggest unfinished business of his presidency.
First, the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act is coming up this Sunday. In 1990, then-President George H.W. Bush signed the ADA, giving civil rights protections to all people with disabilities.
The signing of the bill and the addition of later amendments was seen as a monumental victory for people with disabilities who had previously run into obstacles like finding work, using public transportation, and accessing businesses.
We're joined now by two disability advocates who worked with leaders around Wisconsin and around the nation to help get the ADA signed. Dick Pomo is a retired disability advocate and human services professional. Dick, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
And Michelle Martini is a project specialist with the Milwaukee-based organization Independence First. Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's go back to the time before the ADA passed. And Michelle, you live with physical disabilities due to extreme rheumatism. What did you encounter before the ADA was law?
Well, I've had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis since I was about 2.5 years old. And, you know, I did all the things you're supposed to do, went through school, went to Whitewater, graduated from the university, and after graduating, I sat and watched my friends and my roommates and buddies all get positions while I tried and tried and tried and interviewed and interviewed. And, you know, people would ask me at the interview about my, I have limitations and some, you know, deformities from the arthritis. So they'd ask about my fingers, about surgeries, about my hip surgeries, just, you know, seemingly more fascinated with my disability than any of the skills I had to offer for employment, and that was absolutely legal. Right before, well, you know, 2.5 years of looking, and I just about had a position with a large national insurance company still around, and verbal offer, the whole bit. They were we were kind of finishing things with HR, and they called up. What would be my vocational rehab specialist, and said they were so sorry. They felt bad, but they were not going to be able to hire me because they just put somebody with rheumatoid arthritis just went on long-term disability, so they weren't going to hire me. And it was just truly devastating until I found a position then at Independence First.
And Dick, I want to bring you in on this now. As a person dealing with blindness, what kind of difficulties did you face in that similar situation, trying to get work or using things like public transportation prior to the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act?
Well, some of the things that Michelle talked about certainly were things I experienced. Overall, many of us who sought employment before ADA and other legislation learned very quickly that no matter what you said, we had to try to sell our abilities. But at the same time, it forced us into some situations, in my case, trying to hide the vision loss. I did have some vision at the time, and I would go for an interview and try to hide it until it had to come out towards the end. I can remember one particular job, matter of fact, Milwaukee Public School System. In 1967, I went through the interview process, and they were looking for social workers at the time. I had a master's degree, and they were just dying to have master's degree social workers. And the fellow that interviewed me was very excited, probably mainly because I had the degree. And we got to the point where it sounded pretty good, and I shared the fact that I have a sight problem, and I am legally blind. And right then and there, it changed the attitude of the interview to say, you know, we're not sure that our parents would accept the fact someone who is legally blind working with our children. The ironic part of that was I went some 50 blocks down, those people live in Milwaukee on Valeet Street, and began work with the Department of Social Services, which brought me in contact with problem youngsters and adults, and spent the first part of my career there. So even there, at times, people would make a decision based on what they thought my disability would limit me in doing, rather than finding out for me if there were any limitations.
And in the 1970s, Dick, you were involved with a group, or starting in the late 70s, you were with a group, the Wisconsin Disabilities Coalition. That's a while before the ADA ended up passing. What was this Wisconsin group trying to do at that time?
you know, one of the greatest things about the 70s was people with disabilities. In 1976, the White House formulated conference over the United States, and throughout the states, different groups were formed. In Wisconsin, from that effort, the Wisconsin Disability came about. And basically what it was is people with different disabilities coming together and saying, you know what, it's time we take destiny into our own hands. It's time we direct where we go. And certainly the help of other advocates gave us a chance. We spent many a Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning in different parts of the state, first of all, trying to find an accessible place to meet. And when we did, learning about each other, learning why we needed to work together and what was happening, why we were coming together, wasn't simply because we had disabilities. It was simply because our abilities were being discriminated against. And in Wisconsin, I think we can be very proud of people with disabilities that came together and said, we're not going to stop until we achieve equality.
Talking to Dick Pomo and Michelle Martini, both longtime disability advocates, as this weekend marks the 25th anniversary of the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Well, Michelle, how did you feel when you first found out that this act, the ADA, was being proposed in Congress?
Well, you know, I have to say I was starting to hear some things. I was relatively new in my career, and I was hearing about the ADA. I received one of the final drafts, or one of the drafts, I should say, first draft, and I stayed up the entire night reading it. I could not believe what I was reading. Page after page, it would completely turn upside down the world of for many millions of people with disabilities as we knew it. And I couldn't believe that this was actually being proposed and that it might actually have a chance. I highly doubted it, but I threw myself heart and soul into advocating for it. It was very, very exciting time.
Michelle worked to advocate for it. Dick, you did as well. What kind of things did you encounter as you traveled to Wisconsin and to the nation's capital pushing for this act?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I hadn't been in Washington much. Kid from a small town in Connecticut, suddenly finding himself traveling around with my peers to different offices of Congress, and realizing that many of the people in Washington said to us, it's about time you people had a bill. And, of course, our response was, wait a minute. Let's talk about what we're asking for. We're not asking for a bill for us people. We're asking for a bill that simply allows us to participate in society like anybody else. And that took a little doing because, you know, if even at that time, one of the selling points I think most people, disability and advocates, were trying to sell was the fact that this law is more about ability than disability. And for some people, that's hard to comprehend. But, you know, we're not against, if we could eliminate disability, we would. We can't. But we can eliminate the fact that people are judged or kept from participating in a service because of their disability. And that's what the law basically set up, was to say you need to allow people the opportunity to participate in all aspects of society. And until that time, while there were some other laws, they were tied to funding, and ADA was not. So it was a comprehensive law that opened a lot of doors.
Talk about some of those doors that ended up being there in that bill, Dick, if you would.
One of the employment certainly it's still a problem, but it was one of the doors that was opened more by saying, when you hire somebody as an employer, you have the right to judge a person by establishing if they have the ability to perform the essential functions of a job. That's okay. But you can't make a determination based on a disability that simply the fact that the person cannot be hired because you don't believe they can do the job. The questions you needed to ask, you need to ask of everybody. I had a quick example of a situation where an employer asked me about how I would travel around the state and basically made their decision based on the fact that they felt it would be difficult because I would need to ride with other employees. The person that was hired 6 months later left the position because travel was too much. And I found out later they really didn't ask that person about travel. So the employers had to learn very quickly to say, if you're going to hire a person, let your interview be based on what are the essential functions of the job and direct your questions and your evaluation in that aspect.
We're talking with disability advocates Michelle Martini and Dick Pomo about the history of the Americans with Disabilities Act. They both advocated for the passage of that act. It turns 25 this Sunday.
And we want to hear from you. Did your life change because of the Americans with Disabilities Act? Do you have a question for either of our guests about their experiences? And what do you think still needs to be done to make sure people with disabilities get equal opportunities and services? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We'll pick up the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking with Wisconsin disability advocates Dick Pomo and Michelle Martini about the 25th anniversary of the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and we want to hear from you.
Did the ADA change your life? If you have a disability, what was your life like before the act passed? Were things better on the job and public transit and public accommodations after it passed? Call 800-642-1234. Now, Michelle, you were present, as I understand it, at the signing ceremony for the ADA. Can you talk us through that day?
Sure, I will. And I'd like to add a little bit more about what I see as some of the changes that still need to take place, to add to Dick's comment. But I'll first tell you about that day was, let me tell you, it was one of the best days, if not the best day of my life. It was an absolutely beautiful day on the South Lawn of the White House, military bands playing, lemonade stands, Senator Kennedy and dignitaries, bipartisan for both sides, senators, congressmen, other dignitaries, and people with every kind of disability you can imagine everywhere you look. I had tears in my eyes the entire time, and it was not out of sadness in any way. I was just so happy. It was hot and humid, but it was beautiful. You didn't even feel that. And then the other extremely impressive thing was there were bleachers in the back just filled with people. And at first I didn't know who the people all were. And then come to find out, I had asked somebody, and they were press, international press from all over the world, here to watch the United States, again, the leaders in human civil rights, pass a law like this. They wanted to witness this and hopefully bring that back in policy in their countries. And many of them stuck around to tour places within the U.S. after that.
And, Michelle, you mentioned changes or challenges that remain.
Well, I'll tell you, I think in the areas, well, I actually know, we've made great access improvements in the area of access, physical improvements, curb cuts, parking spaces, in communications, in transportation, even though that was a very tough one to get by initially, in environmental changes. And those are all obvious, and they did cause money, but they're very visible and obvious, and many people can enjoy them and use them. But it's still employment that is very little to no change. As a matter of fact, 82.4% of the people with disabilities are still not working.
Wow.
And many of them want to, as compared to 36% of the non-disabled. And I believe, and most people in Washington, I think many do, is it's more a problem with perception and with attitude and fears. And, nothing destroys misconceptions better than exposure. And the problem is we don't have enough people in the workplace to change that. That'll only change with that kind of exposure.
And, Michelle, I want to bring in one of our callers before we run out of time. We've got Jim on the line in Mayville. Jim, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Just wanted to add something. My sister-in-law and brother find themselves disabled at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
My sister-in-law had a severe car accident 20-plus years ago, and my brother-in-law had a stroke at age 48, which left him quite disabled. The point I really want to make is that the ADA has allowed them to live very independently, and we're so close to them. I'm almost in tears now, actually. We're so close to them, but we are so proud of them because they can function very well on a daily basis. And we don't have to worry about them too much. We're over there all the time helping them out, but really on a daily basis, they can function very well because of the ADA.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Dick, can you speak to that? Not just the people themselves, their family members get help here.
That's an excellent point. Thank you for the call, because that really sums up what ADA is about. You know, when we talk about ADA being part of a process, I can remember back in the late 70s, 1980s, when we fought in Wisconsin for attendant care. And we fought for the fact that people who were in nursing homes need not be there if there are services available.
Mm-hmm.
That was much before ADA, yet the principle was the same. It basically said, look, people have abilities that far go beyond their physical, mental, or other disabilities if they have the opportunity to use it. I learned very quickly after we worked hard and we partied hard as part of the Wisconsin Coalition. And I learned a very important lesson one evening when a friend of mine, about 10 o'clock at night, after meeting all day and spending a few toddies talking about the problems of the world, finally said to me, Dick, geez, could you please undo my top button of my shirt? And he had a tie on. Never gave a thought to that until I suddenly realized that, wait a minute, this person may need help getting out of bed in the morning, may need help getting into the wheelchair. But once he's there, or she's there, the rest of the day, they're able to function, in this case, as an employee, as an advocate, and as a husband. It's because the services were put in place. And just quickly adding, if you watch your TV and you see the ads for the phones today where grandma's calling and grandma can be involved in the phone call, because it's in text. 25 years ago, we fought for that for people who were deaf or hard of hearing, but at the same time saying, just like curve ramps, if you provide this kind of service, other people will benefit from it. And I'll tell you what, somebody's making a lot of money on that service right now when they advertise on TV the ability for people who can't hear to communicate. And I think that's an important part of what ADA did.
And Michelle, very briefly, last word on this. What's the most important thing to tackle in the next 25 years?
Again, it's employment. And we have something like 76 baby boomers. They said 10,000 every day that turn 65. We need to really deal with this issue of employment, bringing more people into the workforce, and long-term care. Providing the infrastructure and supports to help allow people to live in the community.
Michelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Dick, thanks to you as well.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking to Michelle Martini and Dick Pomo. They're both disability rights advocates involved in making the case for the Americans with Disabilities Act. They joined us to talk about the 25th anniversary of the signing of that act 25 years ago Sunday.